Welcome to Locked On NFL, your daily podcast on the National Football League on the number one daily sports podcast network. I am Brian Peacock, as always with Matt Williamson. You can find us on Twitter at BD Peacock and at Williamson NFL. Of course, you can find this show just like every show on the Locked On Podcast Network on all of your favorite podcast apps. Matt, we're going to get into some quarterback rankings. These are your quarterback rankings, and it was spurred on by a question from a listener. We had talked about the quarterback tiers as voted on by league executives and coaches last week.
I probably would have spit on it.
Yeah, we were asked, well, what about rookies? What if you include rookies in there? So looking forward a little bit more and projecting this out, I'm interested to hear how you have those quarterbacks ranked in the AFC and the NFC. There is some news, too, as has been the case throughout this COVID offseason, and now we're having more opt-outs. And it looks like we might have a date, Matt, when these opt-outs have to be finalized. This from Adam Schefter earlier today. He said it's still being negotiated and finalized, but the players' opt-out deadline at this point is looking like it's going to be Wednesday. And I think the league was a little bit worried because they were still trying to figure this thing out, and it was supposed to be a week once they got this official letter written that they were going to send out to agents and players. And they're like, well, there's too many people opting out, so let's get this deadline close as possible. So it's looking like something like Wednesday, which is, I believe, is the 5th. So August 5th looks like it'll probably be the last day that people can opt out of this NFL season. And I think the league is a little bit worried that some folks might use the opt out as a way to hold out, like as a, you know, they're holding it over the team's head and say, look, I can't hold out because of the CBA, but I can opt out and still accrue my season, which is an interesting wrinkle in all of this. And we're seeing more and more players opt out. The latest big one is Jets linebacker CJ Mosley.
Yeah, and much to discuss with all that. Mosley in particular is very interesting. But I have a little personal note I want to throw out to our audience, if you don't mind. I just signed a contract with Pro Football Network, and it's a website I've really enjoyed and paid a lot of attention to. They're only like a year and a half old, and they used to be very, very draft-oriented. Of course, they still are, and that's led spearheaded by Tony Pauline. And now they just signed Mike Tannier, too. I mispronounced his name there. And now myself to really start putting together an NFL section. So I'm going to be doing a lot of work with those guys. You'll find a lot of my articles at the Pro Football Network. And my first article is going to be ranking the top 25 running backs in the league. So maybe we'll get into that on Tuesday. So let's dig into some of these guys that are opting out, too, because there's a lot to discuss. It's a beefy show. We got lots to talk about.
And today, congratulations, by the way, Matt. I meant to mention that at the top. I totally forgot. So I'm glad you brought that up. So that's really cool. You guys can go read all of Williamson's stuff, more of Williamson's stuff at Pro Football Network. CJ Mosley, he was one of those players that people were talking about. Hey, this might be comeback player of the year because he didn't play a lot last year either, right? For the Jets, who signed him to this big money free agent contract. And now he's going to miss another season.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder at this point now, what kind of player do the Jets even have on their hands? I mean, he's interesting to me because they gave him a ton of money. I mean, I know for a fact that the Ravens thought that he would come back on a nice beefy deal, and the Jets just blew their doors off. And the Jets were very concerned about being very strong up the middle, great safeties, and you know, now that's changed a little, Quinton Williams, and then he misses the whole year. Now he opts out, which means his same contract takes effect next year. It's almost like none of the seasons click off the board. So now all of a sudden you're on the hook for this guy that you haven't really seen at all, and you've been paying him for 2 years. And last we saw him, he was a high-quality top 10 type of linebacker, but that's a questionable position to be paying anyway, and all of a sudden the Jets' defense doesn't look so strong up the middle.
That's another big name to go with some of the other bigger names we've seen around the league. I believe the Patriots are up to 8 players who have opted out, including Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, Dan Vitale, fullback, Michael Pierce, the nose tackle in Minnesota, opting out. Nate Solder is a big one for the New York Giants. So there are some big name players, and the deadline Wednesday now, there could be a few more trickling in here the next few days.
Yeah, and the deadline's important because one of the things we mentioned when this was starting to come about a week or so ago is, hey, if I'm not sure I'm going to make this team, or I don't think I'm going to make this team, maybe I will opt out and get a salary anyway. So they don't want, you know, people starting to, they come to camp and they're starting to get beat up and can't block anybody. So I'm going to opt out, you know, like, so, and plus these teams need to know these things. Like, it's been hard enough on teams to build rosters under this situation and to scout and do all the front office things that need done. So there does need to be a deadline. I hope we don't see any more. And I tend to think that if you've already reported to camp, which basically everyone has, that you're in, but maybe you get a negative test and say, oh, that's enough to scare me to opt out still. Who knows?
A couple of other bits of news. Browns tight end David Njoku, he had requested a trade earlier this offseason. He has rescinded that trade now. That request. He wants to be back with the Browns. He had a meeting with Andrew Berry, Cleveland's GM, and he's fully committed now. And it's a pretty packed group in that tight end room in Cleveland, but David Njoku no longer wants out, apparently. So I guess that's good news for Cleveland, and hopefully Njoku does have a big role there. And I got to imagine at some point, you know, he's going to try to earn some free agent money on the market with another team eventually anyway, but at least one more year in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think some people are probably looking at it going, well, that means nobody offered the Browns anything for him. Nobody wants this guy.
Probably.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, I don't know if they had offers or not, but I think he's a highly talented player. I really liked him coming out of school. Tight ends usually take about this long to start to hit their peak, and I think they have full intentions. I'm sure their conversation went something like this. David, we gave Austin a lot of money, and we drafted another guy, because we're going to live in double tight end sets. Go look at our wide receiver room. We got two guys and a bunch of nobodies. You're going to be on the field a lot. I can't promise you we're going to offer you a big contract after this year, but you're going to have 16 games, assuming you stay healthy, to show the league what you're capable of now.
Right. Two tight ends is a starter in this offense, so you're still a starter unless you can't beat out a rookie. Do you think you can't beat out a rookie? You know, put that on him. Like, well, are you afraid you're not going to beat out this rookie? Because two tight ends is going to be the base here for us. And, you know, obviously he's had a lot of injury problems. He's been banged up quite a bit so far in the NFL. I have no doubt they got some offers, but I just don't think they got the offer that would have, obviously, where they would have been asking for more than what they, that I think I would have offered for Njoku. So I think that's where it came when you said that they probably weren't getting any offers. I think they might have gotten offers, but not enough to move a guy who has that first round. Like, he was drafted in the first round for a reason, right? And he could be still a big play guy if he stays healthy all season. He's got all these attributes that you love. You don't want to give him away for nothing and see him blow up on another roster.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, he's an asset, and he's a massive talent.
Antonio Brown may be coming back. I think he's retired three times this offseason, but now recommitted. He's going to have to wait 8 games whenever he gets signed. If he gets signed by a team, still a free agent, but the league, we hadn't talked about this yet, but the league handed down their suspension. So suspended 8 games without play whenever he does sign. He's going to have to wait half a season.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hard feelings towards AB in my hometown, and you know that it hits home for me, his situation. But he's a remarkable talent. He has a remarkable work ethic, and I often say about the Josh Gordons and Martavis Bryants, and I know he's a little different because it's not a substance abuse situation, that these guys have a right to play, you know, more often than not. I lean that way more often than not. So in a way, I kind of felt for him that, all I'm asking, NFL, is tell me what my suspension is. You know, I mean, I can't, teams aren't going to sign me, hire me. So finally he gets that answer. And frankly, I think it just took too long. I mean, not the poor guy. That's the last way I should phrase that. But, you know, he at least deserves an answer so he can go about negotiating with teams. My hunch is, though, he's going to get signed. I mean, 8 games seems legit. He obviously did something wrong. And I'm not the slightest bit condoning that, but he has shown, certainly with the Patriots, I know it was only one game, but he can acclimate quick, you know, get him in the mix. And if I'm a playoff type team and I bring AB in with fresh legs around week 8 or 9 and acclimate him slow and the playoffs are hitting, look out, man.
It's tough, too, because a team can't wait and find out halfway through the year that they need a wide receiver and sign him because he's going to have to miss the next 8 games. So that doesn't help. So you have to be proactive with this and sign him now. And he can still participate in preseason stuff. And in, well, there's no preseason games, but in training camp, he can participate. But then prior to the first week is when that suspension would kick in. So you can get him in practice now, then get him back for the second half of the season and make that playoff run if that's what you're looking for. And I assume it'd be a playoff team or a team expecting to be in the playoffs that would sign someone like Antonio Brown. Here's the other little wrinkle to this, because there was a specific incident that was cited that he was suspended for, but there's, I think, another incident that the league is, could or is potentially looking at. So I don't know if this is necessarily the only suspension for Antonio Brown. That's the other added little wrinkle to this that might cost Brown a few more games and still might hurt some teams looking at him thinking, well, we still don't know if the book is closed on this. Is it 8 or could it potentially be more?
Yeah, I mean, he just think about that was week 16 against the Saints in 2018, and he was the best player on the field. And then 2 days later, he went bonkers in practice, never played another game for the Steelers. But think about all the times he's been in the news. Never good, including weird things like his feet and his helmet and all things.
Oh, the helmet. I forgot about the helmet. Right, there's so many things. The painted helmet was amazing. Right. That was my favorite story. That was kind of a fun one, at least, even though it was just weird.
Weird, right. And so it wouldn't shock me at all if there's more on the horizon.
We might see Antonio Brown in 2020. Let's get into your quarterback rankings, Matt, coming up. Looking ahead, counting rookies, counting those young players. Let's project this out. AFC, NFC, quarterbacks going forward. Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock, Locked On NFL.
Folks, I want to tell you about DoorDash. They're a new sponsor of ours that I've been using for a long time, honestly. And DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in very safe. So right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter our code LOCKEDON, all one word. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right, Matt, I want to go back to the tweet we got. This was from Dave. He said, just listen to the Quarterback Tiers episode. Early question for next week's Twitter Thursday. We got to it early. We're getting to it Monday, Dave. He said, where would you include the rookies if you could? And I think this sparked your thought process in this, right, Matt?
It did. It did. And a couple little notes is, first of all, I mentioned my first couple projects with Pro Football Network is I'm going to do some lists, some positional rankings starting with running backs. And I told my new editor, hey, if we're going to do this, I don't want to include Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor and the rookies. I just don't think it's fair. So I need to watch them play NFL games before I can compare Tua to Brady. I mean, to be the widest gap possible. So what I decided, though, because I like this question, was something we talk about a lot. Where would I rank them in terms of if we were having a draft right now? You know, like, value going forward, you know, is Burrow more valuable to me than Pat Mahomes? No, but he's more valuable to me than Ben or Breeze, you know, I mean, but because of what he could potentially do going forward. And I mentioned Ben because my co-host on Steeler Nation Radio, Dale Lawley, and I have mentioned this because it's a crazy stat that before Cam Newton was signed, Ben had more playoff games, victories, than all the other AFC quarterbacks combined. I mean, including Rivers. I mean, all of a sudden, when Brady left town, the AFC didn't have any, you know, Flacco's not of it. I mean, guys like that that have won a playoff game or two. Like, all of a sudden, it was a youth movement in the AFC. And so I broke this down into AFC and NFC in terms of my top five of how I would pick each. So you want to dig in?
Let's do it. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. AFC is pretty easy at the top. I go Mahomes, and I would take him over anyone, as everyone would. You know, when you factor in age, and I mean, that's an easy one. He's the first pick in every draft. Then I'd go Lamar. Again, pretty easy. Then I'd go Watson. Again, very easy. And you'd love to start your franchise with any of those three guys from this point on. Then I thought it was difficult. Well, I don't know what I thought was difficult, but then maybe it got a little more controversial. I went with Burrow next, and I think he's going to be great. I mean, this could be a rough year. I feel for him as the only rookie quarterback that's projected to start from day one, considering he's in 14 practices and he just got fitted for a helmet the other day. I mean, it's going to be an uphill climb, but I'm a believer. And then my fifth one, I'm sure a lot of people would take Josh Allen. I would not. I was torn between Tua and Darnold. And you and I were talking about Darnold the other day. I think you're also a believer. Who would you pick between those two? Or is there somebody else? I mean, Mayfield. I considered Tannehill. Minshew, Locke, Carr, Herbert. I mean, Herbert was a sixth pick in the draft. I went with Tua versus Darnold as my fifth spot.
Yeah, Tua, Darnold would be the two. I mean, Mayfield for sure belongs, I think, in that conversation. I liked Darnold more than Mayfield. Mayfield was so much closer. And Mayfield, you know, multiple years older. So you have to project quite a bit more with Darnold. We've seen him a little bit, haven't seen enough, but I mean, he wasn't bad last year as far as what the Jets were able to do with him versus who was in there when he wasn't in there. There was a clear difference, and I liked seeing that from Sam Darnold. But I think I'll take the unknown going forward of Tua.
I lean that way.
Yeah, and I'm valuing the unknown more than what I'm sure of with the other guys who I've seen enough of, but I haven't seen enough to believe that there's so much there than what the unknown could provide with Tua, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was kind of what I was leaning to. And Darnold maybe has developed a couple bad habits too, since, you know, having to overcome some of the things he has. I'm still a believer. I like Darnold an awful lot and kind of feel for him. But I think Tua is a heck of a prospect. And it wasn't long ago that we all thought he was going to be the first pick in the draft.
Right. Yeah. He's not that far removed from that. And again, so young. And it takes a while for quarterbacks, especially a 20-year-old who's, you know, three years removed from high school when he gets drafted.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield was a fifth-year senior, been on two different college programs. You know, he was an adult. You know, he was an adult. Sam Darnold, almost, you know, those 2-3 years difference, that's a lot to be in the same draft class. And that's what benefits someone like Burrow, too, because Burrow, again, is, I'm pretty sure Burrow's older than Sam Darnold.
I think he is, yeah. I mean, you hope they play 12 years and that becomes less and less than a factor when it's 2030. But, you know, I remember watching tape with a bunch of scouts when I was on the road, and the opponent, I forget what school I was in, was BYU. And I was like, man, this O-line for BYU. And this older scout's like, dude, all those guys are like 24 and 25 years old. Like, oh yeah, they were on a mission. And yeah, you know, like at that age, as we all know, there's a big difference between a 21-year-old and a 25-year-old, or a 23-year-old and a 26-year-old. Mental processing. I'm gonna say quarterback, mental processing, maturity, work ethic off the field. You know, maybe you won't be in the club as much, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And when quarterbacks play as long as they do too, I mean, that development curve continues into their 30s, and that the stat you talked about with Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it in those terms.
Yeah, I mean, those are the formative years too.
Baker Mayfield, though, I feel like you're not giving Mayfield enough credit. I feel like we're both not giving, someone out there is going to hit us up on Twitter and be like, come on, Mayfield easily over those guys.
See, I think people are saying about Josh Allen too.
Yeah, and no, yeah, true.
Yeah, and I have big doubts about both. Not that they can't be NFL quarterbacks, but that they're going to be top NFL quarterbacks. It's Allen's just, frankly, his accuracy. And Mayfield had a bad year. And I think everyone's a system quarterback, but I think Mayfield is more than people realize. Needs structure. He might be closer to Kirk Cousins than he is you want from the first overall pick. which isn't bad. I mean, I'm not saying the guy stinks. It's just he might be more of a trailer than a truck. You know, he might be more of a he might not be a locomotive.
I think that there's a chance, and this is sort of my bias about the Baker Mayfield persona. Do you think he read his own press clippings too much? He was the number one pick. There was so much hype going into last year. If we were doing this list this time last year, Mayfield's number one. Maybe.
I didn't love him as much as most, but most would have him number one. They wouldn't have him over Mahomes, but he would have definitely been in the top five on everyone's list. And everyone was buzzing about him. And I don't know. I don't think that, because I don't think he doesn't work hard or any of those things. I think once in a while he gets lumped in with Johnny Manziel, which isn't fair to Baker. I mean, I think Baker is a professional that was in a really bad situation, but I don't think he's as gifted as most of these guys either. You know, like, I think he has less room for error in that he needs a system around him. He doesn't just wow you and make Aaron Rodgers plays.
That's interesting stuff. And I've always talked about how quarterback's development is not linear. And we always talk about how it takes a village to raise a quarterback, and you hope that someone like Sam Darnold hasn't been completely ruined. But a lot has to go right in a quarterback's career. That quarterback coach marriage, who's got the best situation there. We've seen players like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes just take off. I mean, they're in the right situation, and their team believed in them, and there was some, you know, solid foundation of coaching staff, really good coaches. They put some talent around them to help them out as well, built a system for them to succeed in. So all of those things have to factor in because they're so important to a quarterback. And we've seen that with that crazy draft class in 2018.
Yeah. And that was something I kind of wanted to mention when we were talking about Darnold was let's close our eyes. And what if he had been drafted by the Chiefs or Dallas? You know, when someone like that had a line and was a quality, you know, organization around him, and we might be talking about him as one of the top three young quarterbacks in the league, you know? So you can't really play that game, and some of it is, hey, I am a stud quarterback. I am the first pick in the draft. I'm going to elevate those around me, you know, and that's going to be a challenge Burrow has, and we'll get to Kyler Murray. I mean, a lot of these guys are – it's not easy is the bottom line, but situation is important.
Let's talk NFC. Who's in that list? Who's in the top five? Who is out? Coming up on Locked On NFL. NFC, a little bit more of a veteran group of quarterbacks in the NFC, Matt. I'm interested to see how you have these ranked out. Looking at rest of career, you can't have Brady in your top five rest of career, and those are the greats of all time.
Yeah, and I didn't consider Brady. I didn't consider Breeze. I didn't even consider Rodgers, who might have an awesome year and go to the Patriots and win four more Super Bowls. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a not that far-fetched. So I didn't go with those older guys. Rodgers was the one I thought about but didn't. So my list in the NFC is Russell Wilson, who I think is clearly the best NFC quarterback, but he definitely has fewer years than some of these young pups. You know, I mean, he's logged some miles, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I went with Wentz number two, and I can't quit that guy. And I thought he played really well despite not having wide receivers last year. I went with Kyler at three. I went with Dak at four. But I got to say, those three are pretty tough. I mean, I know a lot of NFC East people love to battle Dak versus Wentz, and I think it's a legitimate argument. So number two versus number four with Kyler in the middle isn't very different for me. And then five was tough for me. I went with Matthew Stafford, and I know he's a little old for this, but the other names, well, I guess I'll throw it to you because my sixth guy would have been Jimmy. And my hunch is you'd rather have Jimmy from now until eternity than Stafford.
I think so, although because we talked about the village around a quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Jimmy Garoppolo's already won more than Stafford, even though he started a 16-game season once in his career. And Stafford's not that much older than Jimmy G. He's got him by, what, a year or two? Only?
I didn't even look that far into it. I was thinking it was bigger than that. So that strengthens my argument.
I think
Stafford's the better player.
Garoppolo's was 28 last year, going into his age 29 season. I think Stafford's going into age 31, if I'm not mistaken. So 2 years difference. So that's not even that much. I have a hard time trying to figure out where Stafford's rest of career is going to be because he's been so good, but Garoppolo's already won more, and he started one full season in his career. And I think there's a lot more to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think we know who Stafford is. He's not going to get better than what he is, but is that good enough? He was in a different environment. Could he win a bunch of games? And I think that answer is yes, too. So that's a really interesting question. I'll take Jimmy G just because he's a little bit younger and the needle's still pointing up, and I like his situation a lot better.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, but I bet if the Niners had Stafford last year, they'd been pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's better right this minute. And has gotten such little help. I know he's coming off a back injury, but here were the other names that are at least to mention was Daniel Jones, Haskins. I still think Jameis Winston can be a good quarterback. Teddy, not that I considered him super strong. Cousins, a good football player. Goff is a former first overall pick, and maybe he does more going forward. And then Jimmy was the other one that didn't make my top five, but he would have been six.
Goff is another interesting one in a similar vein to Sam Darnold, because Goff was that true junior coming out so young, and it takes a little while. And he took a haymaker, right? He took his team to the Super Bowl, young up-and-coming quarterback. I think he would have been in your top five last year at this time. He took a shot last year. You know, if using the boxing analogy, he came out in round one and looked really good, and then he got hit in the mouth in round two. What's round three going to look like for a really young quarterback? Again, that has great arm talent. I think he's in a pretty good situation there. He's got some pass catchers. He's got a good coach. I think there's a lot more there with Jared Goff. Maybe it's more of a roller coaster and not a linear path forward, right? But I would not be shocked if Goff was someone who solidifies himself number five after that group of three, Wentz, Murray, Dak, in the very near future. I wouldn't be shocked right now at all. Although, again, I would put him probably right behind Jimmy G and Stafford.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like people have written the book on Goff already, right, which is so unfair. I mean, 5 years from now, he may be a top five quarterback. There's a lot there to work with. He's continuing to get better, just not by leaps and bounds. And in a way, that year with Fisher, where he was just a horrible player, Jeff Fisher, I think people immediately just thought, oh, I'm out on that guy. He's no good. You know.
By the way, Stafford turned 32 years old already this offseason. Garoppolo will turn 29 in November. So 3 years, almost 4 years difference actually between them. So there is a little gap there. It's bigger than I thought. I thought it was only two.
Yeah, that is. It is. And I think that's difficult. I just think Stafford's better now, but maybe you get 5 years of Stafford as opposed to 8 years of Jimmy or so. So it's an argument.
Yeah. 5 years of Stafford with who knows coaching staff against 8 years of Jimmy with Kyle Shanahan.
If you're coming off a broken back.
If you're just like redrafting them, maybe you could still go Stafford. But if you're looking, if you're looking at their situation, knowing how that's going to look going forward, then definitely taking Jimmy. And I might take Goff too over Stafford.
Oh, in terms of how successful they'll be going forward, right. Yeah, maybe. But I was looking at it more of if I'm building the Team Williamson from scratch, I'll take Stafford and see what I can do with them, you know,
as opposed to
what they're going to do.
Take Stafford. At least you could sling it.
Yeah, right.
And he's got the high end of Winston, but doesn't have the turnovers either. So I don't think I would consider Winston over Stafford either, even though he's a lot younger.
No, me either. And I don't think Winston's book is written either. And I wonder if the LASIK thing everyone kind of brushes that off, but being able to see is important.
I was just going to say that. That's not nothing. If you could not see well, that has to affect your ability to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, driving the ball 30 yards down the field in a window the size of a loaf of bread. You know, like, yeah, being able to see would be helpful.
If you disagree, you can find Matt Williamson on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. You can always tag me and yell at me as well at BD Peacock. Get those Twitter Thursday questions in early. We'll keep it going all week long here as we do on Locked On NFL.
All running back ranks on Tuesday.
Yeah, running back
Pro
ranks.
Network. Let's
all
roll.
The latest news. Read all of Matt's latest at Pro Football Network. Congrats again on that, Matt. And we'll talk to you tomorrow right here, Locked On NFL.